Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight.
Hallelujah. It's already on. Hallelujah. See that? It works just fine, guys. Teenagers couldn't figure out how this thing works. Hallelujah.
If you have your Bibles tonight, Luke chapter number 5, if you'd be so kind. Luke chapter number 5. You know, I failed to mention one thing. A couple of folks have asked what that gas can was for, and that's for incidentals. We call that incidental slush fund, what it is we like to do as much as we can for our young people, but the economy being the way it is, we can't do everything we'd like to. Sometimes there's added expenses on the road. For example, we need to change the tire on our trailer. It's cracked. Hallelujah. So if the Lord will give you liberty, maybe drop a $5 or $10 bill in there, it'd be a blessing. If not, that's okay too. That's what it's there for. I asked those gentlemen to sing that song on purpose tonight. It was a blessing to hear them sing it. I haven't heard them sing it for a little bit. And folks, America's in trouble tonight. And I'm not a gloom and doom preacher, but I am an evangelist, and my ministry is revival. I believe that with every fiber and every ounce of my being. I believe that. I'm a revivalist. My job, I understand my job. So let me give you my heart so maybe God will help me to help you tonight. I know what my job is. The Bible calls an evangelist a gift to the church. Hallelujah. And Pastor Rogers, I never received a gift that ever hurt me. So I'm not here to hurt you tonight. You know, I know a lot of guys, friends of mine say, well, bless God, I'll blow in and blow up and blow out. And I said, you're an idiot. That's not what those people need. Those people need you to find out what God wants for them and preach it with compassion. Preach it with fire. But God wants you to help them. And I promise you, I've prayed for you tonight. God help me if I didn't. But America's in trouble tonight, and there's a reason for her trouble. And the reason for her trouble is not the White House. It's never been the White House. The reason for her trouble is not the courthouse. It's not the schoolhouse. It's not even the dope house. The reason for her trouble is God's house. Folks, it's always been how the church house goes is how our nation will go. And it's not rocket science. The church house is in trouble. You don't got to think about it long to figure it out. Our churches are in trouble because our homes are in trouble. And that's the truth. And there's a reason our homes are in trouble. And I believe one of the key reasons, listen, this is a personal truth that God dealt with me and God settled in my heart tonight. I promise you, it changed my life. Now, I know it's a little late, and I promise you I'll get this as quick as possible to you, and I won't be very long, but I believe this truth will change your life if you let it. What I like teenagers for you to do is think that this is Shawnee extended a little bit, amen? I'd like you to think you're still back at a youth conference. Mom and Dad, if you would, I'd like to maybe think that maybe this is your first day of parent conference, amen, or adult conference. And that if we were able to just draw a circle around ourselves tonight and let the Holy Spirit of God just minister to us tonight. Not the danger is thinking this is good for so-and-so. I wish they were here tonight. No, listen, it's good for me. It's good for you. The truth of the matter is, America's in trouble tonight because we've stopped praying. And there's a reason we've stopped praying. Guys, if you come help me out, I'd appreciate it. And just take your spots across the front. Luke chapter number 5, if you'll stand, please, out of respect for the Word of God. Luke chapter number 5. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 5 and verse number, if I get there, I'll be doing well. And that's not the right message. Verse number 12, and it came to pass when he, Jesus, that's the he, was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. And folks, Berean Baptist Church, hell, let me help you understand something tonight. We all have a leper problem. But leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin. And every one of us tonight has a sin problem. The only difference between some of us is some of us have that sin problem cared for and some of us don't. You say, but preacher, there's no visitors here tonight. That's okay. That doesn't mean because there's no visitors here tonight, there's not anybody here that doesn't have your sin problem cared for. Membership of Berean Baptist Church don't get you into heaven. Daddy being a preacher, Berean Baptist Church, don't get you to heaven. Mama being a Sunday school teacher, teacher in a Christian school, Daddy being a deacon does not get you to heaven, last time I checked. Preacher, 2 summers ago, August 2007, I was in a church, Mansfield, Ohio. Maybe you know him, Jim Spencer, Pastor James Spencer, People's Baptist Church. Week before I got there for a revival meeting,
He got saved. Now, I promise you, when the preacher gets saved, revival breaks out. You know, Charles Spurgeon said this, I fear that 50% of my congregation is lost. And see, preacher, Brother Spencer's testimony was this. He said, Brother Tony, for many, many years, I doubted. I was scared, though. I was scared to death of what people might say. I was scared to death, God help us, preacher, what the brethren would think. It was my job. What was I going to do for work if I came out with something not saved? I was scared. Berean Baptist Church, if you could picture that group of hell on at the Great White Throne Judgment as a one-way sign, and that group that leading the pack in the hell as that one-way arrow with that arrow, that biggest group leading the pack in the hell, the largest group of people that are going to be cast in a lake of fire is not the murderers. It's not the idolaters. Matter of fact, it's not even the pedophiles or any of that crowd. Revelation 21:8. May I remind you, but the fearful. The largest group of people that God is going to have to cast into a never, never dying, ever burning hell is the fearful. Fearful of what? Fearful of what the youth group might think tonight if I admitted I wasn't saved finally. Fearful of what my church might think if I came forward and just finally got this battle settled in my life because I'm not saved. But what would they think? Fearful of what they might say. Amen. That's what Pastor Spencer's testimony was. He said, I was trusting what my mom told me I did as a 5-year-old boy. How many times have we heard that? He said, but Brother Tony, I finally decided that in my life I was not going to allow any more what people thought to damn me to hell. He said, so I got saved. Who's seeing Jesus fell on his... What are you going to keep from allow you in your life, sir, your life, ma'am? Group this size, there's no doubt, in my mind at least, that there's some people that are afraid to come forward and say, I don't know. I've been afraid to admit that, but I don't know. Hey, what happened in Pastor Spencer's church proved Charles Spurgeon correct. Preacher, that night, 25, after he stood up, he said, I got to resign my position, folks. I just got saved. He had a good deacon in his church. Amen. They're not all good, but some of them are good. He said, hallelujah. He said, well, preacher, you're more qualified now than you were last week. And he was, by the way. What happened next, though, one by one, preachers, Sunday school teachers of 25 years, Christian school teachers, moms, dads, deacons, walked the aisle and got saved in that church. That night, 25% of his church got saved. By the time I showed up a week later, 40% of his church had gotten saved. Why? Because one man said, I'm not going to be afraid anymore. Where's Kendra? Kendra, raise your hand. Where you at? You gave a testimony tonight. Where you at, Kendra? There it is. Listen, what she said is true. What finally happened in Pastor Spencer's church is exactly what she said tonight. She said when she heard other young people testifying and making decisions for Christ, it encouraged her to step out and do something too. What's going to keep you tonight from getting saved? Who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And verse number 13 says, he put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the Bible says, thank God for verse number 13. Immediately. He didn't have to crawl up a hill with a cross on his back, across broken glass or rocks or anything. The Bible says immediately his sin or his leprosy was wiped clean, departed from him. Father God in heaven, please help me tonight. God, hide me behind the cross of your dear son, Lord. God, I need your help, Father. The best I know, I've prepared this vessel, Lord, to be a blessing to your people. Would you fill it now, please? God, please fill it. God, there's not a thing I have to say that'll help your people. But God, would you please do in the hearts of your people that which only you can do? God, please help the messenger now. Help the hearer. God, if we have not come prepared tonight to receive a blessing, in the next few moments, would we simply pray this prayer? God, open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Bless the services tonight, please. Save the lost, no doubt, God. Save the lost. Encourage the child of God tonight, please. And we'll give you all the honor, God. We will not be glory robbers. We'll give it all to you, for you're worthy of all our praise and all of our glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I've got to develop this real quick, so if you'll listen quick, I'll talk quick. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5, I believe, is God's pattern for all humanity. And I've got to give this pattern to you because it's the foundation for the truth I'm going to give you. In Luke chapter 5, God dealt with four individuals. He dealt with Peter, the leper, the lame man, and Levi.
And every one of these men represented something I believe in the Christian life. See, when Jesus came up to Peter, and God came up to Peter and said, Peter, launch out in the deep and cast your nets out for a draught. You remember that account in verse number 4 and 5? And Peter said, but Lord, I was out there all night. When he said that, Lord, I was out there all night. Listen, he wasn't out there. What was Peter? Talk to me real quick. What was Peter? A fisherman. What do fishermen do? Boy, you guys are quick. I like it. Hey, they fish. It's Peter's job to know where the fish are. Matter of fact, he's an adult by now. No doubt he's fished these waters all his life. And if I were a betting man, I'd bet you that there's hardly any other times, maybe once or twice, if that, where he went out and didn't catch one fish. It's his job to know where the fish were. And for him to say, Lord, I was out there all night. I toiled and I didn't catch one thing. I'll go one step further. I think Jesus kept all the fish from him. I think every place he went, Jesus went. Whoosh. Why? The same reason he brings stuff into your life and my life. See what our response is going to be? He said, Lord, I was out there all night. I told him I didn't catch a thing. But he wanted to hear the next words. But, nevertheless, at thy word. See, Peter pictures belief. And everything in the Christian life, sir, ma'am, teenager, young person, hinges right there. It all starts with belief. For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must what? Believe that he is. You cannot get saved unless you believe Jesus Messiah. It all starts with belief. But from belief, how do you know it? He wants everybody to believe because he's not willing that any should perish. What a God. That all should come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy, you got 1 Peter 3:9. He's not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness. But as long suffering, just word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The only way you can get saved is if you believe that Jesus is Messiah. But then once you believe, you get to the leper stage. Hey, man, you can get saved. Hallelujah. And the leper, listen, will you agree with me real quick so I don't have to go and develop this, but the leper pictures salvation. What happened to the leper is he got saved. He said, I got a leprosy problem, and you're the only one that can fix it. And Jesus said, okay, I will. Declaring for all humanity, if you come, he will. Hey, when he said, I will, there was no strings attached. Now watch this. You cannot get saved without belief. This is a progressive pattern. Then he came to the... Listen, preacher, there are so many Christians, if the truth were known, and you know this, you counsel a lot, they're ready to quit, they're discouraged, they're distracted, they're derailed. And if the truth be known, they're 1 or 2 steps from quitting because they're frustrated. This Christian life ain't working like I was told it was supposed to. The reason is we got the pattern out of order. See, there's belief, salvation, and the lame man. Can two walk together lest they be agreed? It's impossible. See, I believe the lame man pictures a walk with God. See, when Jesus said, take up your bed and walk, he didn't just walk. When he took up his bed, he went forth. He was praising the Lord. He was shouting off the rooftops. And by the way, you and I were lame one day. Before you and I ever came to Christ, we could not walk with him. But before you can walk with God, watch this, you got to get saved. And before you're saved, you gotta believe. You can't. We've got this side of this all backwards. We're trying to walk with God and follow God and do all these things without having the previous. Watch, Levi. What did he say to Levi? He walked up to Levi's servant and he said, follow me. In August 9th, 2009, Jesus is still saying, follow me to a lot of people. But see, you can't follow God. Now watch, this is important. Unless you're walking with God. Too many people are trying to follow God without walking him. And you can't walk with God till you're saved. You can't get saved until you believe. Thanks, guys. Go ahead and sit down. Except for Mike. You're going to be God. Come here. Simple illustration. I know he's a poor illustration of God, but I'm not as holy as he is, so he's got to be God tonight. But simple illustration, watch this, of how you cannot follow God unless you're walking with him. Real easy. He's going to be God, and I'm going to follow God. Start walking, God. Now, I'm following God, right? Because I'm walking with him, hook or right. God, am I still following God? Why? I'm no longer walking with him. See, it's impossible. Thanks, Brother Mike. Have a seat. To follow God unless you're walking with him. God's progressive pattern for humanity. Now, America's in trouble. And the reason she's in trouble, folks, listen to me very carefully. We've stopped praying. I'll prove it to you. Can God lie? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land, right? I don't see my land being healed. So one of three things is the case. Either I'm not praying, right?
Or one of two things, really. I'm not his child. That's it. If my people, which you call my, folks, 80% of God's kids don't pray anymore. And it's not like we shook our fist in God's face and said, bless God, I'm not praying anymore. There. We didn't do that. If you're like me, you stopped praying when you stopped prevailing. You'd admit you stopped praying? Why? Listen, why is it that preachers and evangelists and men of God or women of God, why are we supposed to be any different than you are? We're men and women of like passions just like you are. And the things you face, hey, we face too. That's why I do a lot of us a lot of good to really admit to one another we're not doing as good as we pretend to be. Amen. Because you'd be surprised how much help you'll get if you'll find out two or three people are facing the same thing you are. Right. Amen. Amen. That's not the message, but that's a good message. What do you mean by that, preacher? You stop praying when you stop prevailing. When I no longer seem to influence heaven, I came to a conclusion. It was wrong, but it's a natural conclusion nonetheless, that heaven no longer had interest in me. So I stopped praying. Brother Potter, if I stood here and I talked to you for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and all you did was sit there like that and stared at me, never said a word to me, and just looked right through me, I'd come to a conclusion that you probably had no interest in me, and I'd stop talking to you eventually. Hello? There's a lot of us. It's only in that. Hey, here's the problem with that. How does God talk to his kids today? Through the Bible. Amen. If you stop asking heaven questions, you're going to stop looking for answers. So now we got a greater problem. Not that we just stopped praying, we've stopped reading our Bible. Now listen, I'm not talking about God bless the food. If all God ever hears out of our mouth prayers is when it's time to eat, shame on us. Lord bless the food, Lord protect my family, Lord. That's all. We might as well flip rosary beads. And I'm not trying to be mean tonight, but listen to me. That's vain repetition. I'm talking about God's, listen, if God be your partner, D.L. Moody said, make your plans large. I'm talking about prayers like this. God, get specific with God. How will you know God answered your prayer if you're not specific with him? Brother Ben was a specific answer to prayer. I asked God last Monday. I said, God, please give me 1 to 2 brand new students we didn't even have on our radar screen now through next Saturday when school opens. It was a specific answer to prayer. We got real excited when he called up. Amen. But I'm talking about prayers like this. God, it's Friday. We got tour groups leaving next Friday. God, we only have 1 tour van and 2 tour groups. God, we got a problem. Lord, please give us a van. God, please, we need a van. God, it's not a desire. It's not a lust. It's not a want. God, it's a need. And God, please make it white so it'll match the rest of our fleet. And they get in a call on Tuesday. Say, hey, you need a van? God told me to call you. I just got a van on my lot and it's white. You need one? Preacher, listen, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. In me, that is in my flesh, is like Paul as well. It's no good thing. But preacher, if there's one truth, just one, I can get God's people to believe. I mean, truly believe. Etch it into their hearts. Burn it in their brains. It's that God is no respecter of persons. Amen. Guys, that means what he did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace he wants to do with you. Amen. Ladies, what he did with Ruth and all the women in the Bible, he wants to do with you. Young ladies, young men, sky's the limit. Sky's the limit. Listen to me now. Listen. But we've stopped praying. 80% of God's kids don't pray anymore. And you ought to pray. Listen, God commands us to pray. Matter of fact, he delights in answering the prayers of his people. We stop praying. Can God lie? Titus 1:2 tells us no, he can't. So if he can't, let me paint a picture for you. Flip in your Bibles over to Matthew chapter number 18. I got to hurry. I want to help you tonight. I believe this truth. I've preached this truth all across our land. I promise God just about every first time in every church I'm ever going to be in, I promise I might preach this truth. Because I believe this is foundational for every one of us. God, who cannot lie, said this in Matthew 18:19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching some things, right? Just the things my mama wants, right? Anything that they shall ask, it shall maybe, possibly, quite someday be done for them.
shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. I like that verse. Matter of fact, that verse got me a car. Now, I'm not a health, wealth, and prosperity preacher. I'm not a name it and claim it preacher. But I believe this. I believe there's a God in heaven that owns a cattle on a thousand hills that does not. Listen, he knows every need I have, and he delights in filling those needs of my life. Amen. Listen, I had a need in my life. I had a car. That last time I was here, you saw my car when I was here. Maybe your boy, you saw it, right, Dave? Wreck, wasn't it? But God wrecked that car. Listen, he had a deer jump out in front of me, and that car was absolutely thrashed. But I told God, he humbled me, and he said, I want you to drive this. I said, if you want me to drive it, God, I'll drive it. But I said, God, you broke it, so if you fix it or replace it, I sure would appreciate that. But then it became unreliable. In the wintertime, it started not to start on cold days. So I said, God, I really need you to do something about this car now. And I was in Alaska back in April, and I got a call. It was 5 in the morning, but if most of my calls come like this, I'll take them at 5 in the morning, amen? It came at 5 in the morning. It's like, hello? And the preacher's like, you sleeping? I'm like, yeah. He said, what are you sleeping for? It's 9 o'clock. I said, it's 5 where I am. I'm in Alaska. He said, oh, I'm sorry. It was a preacher I preached for in Iowa. He said, man, I just wanted to call and let you know you've been a blessing. My people are still talking while you're here. And he goes, I'm calling now because I want you to come do a revival out in April. Is your schedule open? And we scheduled a revival meeting. And you have to understand something, preacher. He wasn't there when I preached for him. So I'm always very, if you don't preach out, you won't really understand this, but you're very careful when the preacher's not in the pulpit or in the house when you're preaching in his pulpit. And the next words out of his mouth really scared me at first. He said, now, I really don't know how to handle this next portion of business. And I'm thinking, oh, great. Somebody said, I said something. He said, do you need a car? I said, preacher, I've been praying for a car. He said, stop praying. Somebody came up to my church, I mean, in church last night and said, God told him to give you a car. Listen, what do you need God to do in your life? If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, I'm not a name it and claim it preacher, but there's a God in heaven that if we'll figure out how to get some things done in our life and go to him the way he wants us to, which I'm going to show you here in a minute, I believe this with every fiber, ounce of fiber of my being, we'll get some things done. Flip over a couple of chapters, verse chapter 21. In some things, right? Verse number 22. In some things. Is that what it says? What does it say? All things. Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, what? Believing you shall receive. Luke chapter 11, verse number 11, 12. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he fish for him give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Flip over to John chapter 14 and verse number 13. John 14, verse 13. I've got 100 of them. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Hey, there's a God in heaven that says all you got to do is ask. He says all you got to do is ask, that we're probably not asking. John 15, 7. If ye abide in me, here's most Christians' problems, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Not what God wants, but actually you can ask what you want. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I'll what? Then God waits answering my prayers. Ever been there? There's, truth be known, there's a lot of Christians there. A lot. I believe there's three reasons, just three, that God doesn't answer prayer. Where's that gentleman that said he only listened to the first point? Listen to all three. I want to try and help you. Amen. He stuck his hand up. Hallelujah. Just three, brother. I'll make them short. Flip in your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 55. Listen, Berean Baptist Church, I've prayed for you. I love you. Listen, I can't explain this. Your preacher would understand this. I love God's people. I better love them. God's called me to them. Amen. First reason God doesn't answer prayer, Isaiah chapter number 55. Verse 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You ready for this one? The first reason God doesn't answer prayer is he doesn't have to. He's God. You okay with that? Are you okay with that? Most Christians aren't. Does God have permission to mess your life up? Does he? My family's lost and dying. My words don't seem to get through. He knows what he's doing. God, first reason God doesn't answer prayers, he's God. Last time I checked, Pastor Rogers, God didn't have to run things by my desk this morning. Thank God he didn't, because I'd mess him up. And I'm glad he didn't run by your desk either. You'd mess him up too. Hey, I don't know why he does. Hey, think about this. Think of Paul. God, please take this thorn out of my flesh. Did he do that? No. Think of this. How about Elijah under the juniper tree? Oh, God, kill me. There's none other standing. He would be dead. I'm glad God hasn't answered some of my prayers, preacher. And you know I'm telling you the truth. Listen, I don't know why. Sometimes it's to protect you. Sometimes it's to purify you. Sometimes it's to prevent you. How about this? Sometimes it's even to promote you. Think about this. Joseph in a pit. And all he heard was his brother say, hey, let's sell him. Well, he solved this problem once and for all. Don't you think for a moment he said, oh, God, I want to see my daddy one more time. Oh, God, please don't let him sell me into slavery. I would have prayed that prayer. Did God answer that? Why? It was the only way he could promote him to second in command in Egypt and save a nation. And we kick and we fuss and we scream and we don't like what God's doing. Hey, you know what we deserve? We deserve hell. Anything other than hell is a bonus. He doesn't have to answer our prayers. You know the second reason he doesn't answer our prayers? Flip over to James chapter number 4. This one cuts a little closer to home. James chapter number 4. Second reason God doesn't answer prayer is he knows our heart. Wrong motivations. Do you understand he knows exactly why we ask for what we ask for, folks? He knows exactly why we ask what we ask for. James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your what? Lusts, wrong motivations. How about this? Wrong associations. Flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is really a lot of Christians. Why is it? Will you please do me? But God's blessing me, preacher. Boy, I got a nice home. I got a great job. I got money in the bank. My family's healthy. Why is it just because we think we got a little success and God hasn't squashed us for the sin that is in our life, we think we're okay with God? Will you please do me a favor? Please stop taking God's patience for permission. That is most Christians' problem. Because he hasn't squashed me and killed me for the sin that is in my life today, we think somehow, some weird way, he's okay with it. He's never been okay with it. Hey, can you imagine this? God says when you and I bow our knee, if we're a child of God, we are transported to the throne room of an almighty God. God help us. We bring ungodly thoughts into there, some carnal thoughts, wicked thoughts, critical spirits backed by... God help us. God's never been okay with our sin. But wrong associations. But God's blessed me, preacher. I got money in the bank. I got a good job. Hey, me and God. Hey, preacher, if I'm not careful, God gave me a car. I must be okay with God. That's how we think. And I tell him and those types of folks, because I want to help him, the same thing I'm going to tell you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Bible says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be what? Now, that's a good word. That's not a bad word. It just means unlearned. And then, by the way, when God says, I don't want you to be unlearned in an area, that's probably a good area not to be unlearned in. It's like one of those things where, I don't know about you, but he says, hey, dummy, pay attention. That's how he talks to me. Watch this. Talk to me now. He says, how many? All of our fathers were under the cloud. And how many? All passed through the sea. Y'all there? Talk to me now. Verse 2. And were how many? All baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. Verse 3. And did how many? All eat, getting the idea here? All eat the same spiritual meat. Verse 4, and did how many? All drink that same spiritual drink. Now look at me. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. This is what Paul said. He said, hey, when you're all bound up in bondage down in Egypt, and by the way, when we were all bound up in our sin, God said, hey, when we went to God, he said, come on out. He saved us to the uttermost. Amen. He said, hey, when you're down in Egypt and we brought you out of Egypt, he said, I brought every one of you out. Didn't leave one of you behind. He said, matter of fact, when I brought you out, I spoiled the Egyptians. Gave you gold, gave you silver, gave you wealth. Hey, put money in your bank account. Amen. Gave you a good job, gave you a nice house, gave you nice wheels. Amen. That's what he said. Brought you all out. Didn't leave one of you behind. Then he said, I brought you up to the Red Sea. And y'all started murmuring. No, oh, he brought us out here to kill us. What did the guys leave back in Egypt? Isn't that like most of us? God will do 1,000 good things in your life and my life. What one little thing come in so he can show us right where we're at. And by the way, that's why he does it, to show us where we're at. And we start murmuring, oh, God. He said, but no, I brought you here to show you a greater miracle. That's what he said. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, is what Moses said. And then those waters parted. Understand this. Please study your Bible. I mean, the experts say it wasn't like the Ten Commandments you see on television with Charlton Heston, amen. It wasn't a little 5-foot swath. For the children of Israel to pass through all in one night on dry ground, it had to be about 3 miles wide. Amen. What a God. Dry ground. And he said, I brought every one of you through. I didn't leave one of you behind. Y'all came through. As a matter of fact, he said, that problem that was following you, I took care of it. Never going to see it. Will you give God your problems, please? He can handle your problems. Matter of fact, he wants you to give them to him so you'll never see him again. He said, then I brought you up to the land flowing with milk and honey. And preacher, how many? We see it all the time. God brings folks in our churches right up to a ministry he has waiting for him, and he wants them to go in and take it by faith and go do a wonderful work for him. And that's what he wanted the children of Israel to do, to go into that land flowing with milk and honey, and they didn't go. And they sit in our pews. You understand 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 5 says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Amen. I need help. He said, make full proof of your ministry. It's hard to make full proof of something you don't have. If you're saved, I don't care how old you are, God wants you in a ministry. It could be a prayer ministry. It could be an encouragement ministry. Whatever it is, find a ministry. God wants you in it. Amen. He said, you should have went in, but you didn't. Had to bring you out into the wilderness. Guys, folks, Berean Baptist, you do understand the wilderness was a judgment. He was killing off a generation. He was killing them. But he said, even in my judgment, I provided shoes that never wore out. He said, I provided food on your table as much as you wanted to eat. He said, even in my judgment, I led you by a pillar of cloud by day. In pillar 5 by night, I was with you. Watch this. This is powerful. Look at verse 5. But with many of them, God was not what? Just because God is providing for us does not mean God is pleased with us. Amen. Please stop taking God's patience and counting it for permission. He knows our heart. He doesn't have to. But this is Sunday night, and praise God, look at the crowd. We got a group of teens that just went to youth conference, and from what I understand, there's conferences all throughout the summers. Listen, this is a good crowd. This is the cream of the crop. Listen, for most of us, I don't think it's because of God doesn't want to answer our prayers. He doesn't have to. God delights in answering the prayers of his people. That's why he commands us to pray. Pray without ceasing. Amen. In all things, give thanks. This is a Sunday night crowd, and this is a good crowd tonight. So I don't think it's because he knows our hearts. Listen, God, help us to reach Adrian. Help us to reach Southern Michigan for the gospel. Help us to reach our lost loved ones for the gospel. Those are good prayers. You say, preacher, then why doesn't God answer my prayer? Why does it seem like I can't have it move on my behalf? I don't think it's necessarily because he doesn't have to. I don't think it's because he knows our heart. I believe it is this, though. He's never heard him. Isn't it amazing? I'll prove it to you tomorrow. I just want you to think about that. Isn't it amazing? We quote it all the time. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then will I what? Hear. It's a hearing problem. Well, I'll give you one verse to start off with. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not what? Folks, listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If something is broke or not seem to be working in our life, it is not God's fault. It is my fault. There's something wrong in my life that I need to get figured out. What I don't understand, preacher, is how so many Christians are very complacent with where they're at in their life. They're okay with heaven not hearing them. They're okay with not, well, I'll just stop praying. And that's what we do. That's what I don't understand. I say, God, if I am going to go around our nation telling people they ought to pray, I better be praying and getting answers. He's never heard them. Flip back to Isaiah chapter number 59. I love my God. I hope you love your God too. He doesn't have to qualify himself, but he does. Look at Isaiah 59 verse 1. Behold, the Lord's arm is not short that I cannot what? Save. God says, listen, I can save whoever I want. Matter of fact, God said, I'm the one that hardened Pharaoh's heart that he would not let the people go. He said, I can harden wherever's heart I want to harden. He said, behold, the Lord's arm is not short that I cannot save, and mine ear is not heavy that I cannot what? Well, preacher, you just told me God's not, he can't hear me. I didn't say he can't hear you. I said, God's not hearing you. There's a difference. Look at verse number 2. But your iniquities. Listen, not your wife's iniquities, not your pastor's iniquities, not the youth pastor's iniquities, not your brothers, not your sisters, not your parents, not your kids, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sin, my sin, has caused him to hide his face from us. I'm changing that a little bit. That he will not what? Oh, my soul. Keep your finger there. Go back to Luke chapter 5. I'm going to show you something that absolutely unlocks the key to the Christian life. See, we've got a problem. The Bible says in Revelation that every word in the Bible is necessary and needed and important. That's why I love my Bible. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And he said, matter of fact, it's so serious, if you take any words out of this book, I'm going to remove your name from the book of life. He said, if you add anything to the book, I'm going to add the plagues of the book to your life. That's what he says, folks. Well, then over in the Gospels, he talks about the jots and the tittles, too. Amen. Look back in Luke chapter number 5, verse number 13. When the leper came to Jesus, said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus said, I will, right? What comes next? Oh, that's the words that come next. Now, I hate the English language because I hated grammar and all that stuff growing up, but I got a problem with that. My Bible's in English, so I ought to know the English language. See, there's a colon there, and that colon unlocks the key and the power to the entire plan or God's pattern, if you will. Watch this. So many of God's kids are frustrated right now, and there's a reason for it. See, that colon, any grammarians in the crowd today? Anybody that enjoys English? Watch this. That colon means this. I looked it up. I studied it. Studied to show thyself approved. The workman that need not be ashamed. Rightly divided word of truth. That colon means this. The previous thought is complete and can stand all on its own. You can't add anything to it. So when Jesus said, I will, he said, if you'll come, I'll save you. Isn't it interesting, though? There's a lot of Christians stuck there. Isn't it interesting? God said there's going to be so many as saved but by fire. The I will. Colon. I know God's will for your life, partially. That colon means this. Although the previous thought can stand on its own, you don't have to add anything to it. It means there's a list coming. And the list coming is directly, specifically tied to, cannot get away from, connected to the thought. You know what God wants for your life, son? Be thou clean. Watch. That changes the pattern. Belief. Salvation, be thou clean. Then you can walk with God. Then you can follow God. See, God's not okay with our sin. But your sin has caused him to hide his face from you that he will not. How do you know God wants me to be clean? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, hey, you're already forgiven. You're forgiven 2,000 years ago when he died. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and what? Why do I need cleansing? Because God's will for you. If I will, my will is that you are clean. Why? So you can walk with me and so you can follow me. It's powerful, folks. It'll change your life if you let it. Now, here's the problem. Now, here. Don't raise your hand at this question, but could you raise your hand at this question? Preacher, I've got a time in my life where I 1 John 1:9 my sins. Why do I need to do that? I'm going to show you in a minute. Because if you don't, watch this.
If you and I don't have a time in our life where we 1 John 1:9 our sins, we take today's sin, watch this, into tomorrow. Tomorrow, into next week. Next week, into next month. Next month, into next year. Next year, into next decade. How long has it been since God's heard you? But here's the problem with that. If we're not clean, when we come to God, we say, oh God, please help me this week at youth conference. Oh God, please save my lost loved ones. Oh God, please send revival. And God says, I'd love to do that, but I cannot violate my word. But your sin. Why don't I have sin in my life, preacher? I'm okay. Why is it just because, hey, I'm not what I used to be, but I certainly ain't what I ought to be. Why is it we get some clean time or we get some Christian or some good godly walking in our life and we get down the road a little bit and we think we're okay with God? Just because we're not drunk in the gutter anymore or shooting needles in our arm and we think we're okay. That's not God's standard. Never been His standard. Right. Now, there's a percentage of God's kids that struggle with that. And if you're struggling with pornography or wicked thoughts or a backbiting and critical tongue, get the victory. That's why Jesus rose from the dead. Right. Amen. You can have, if God can deliver me out of a $400 day cocaine habit, He can deliver you. Amen. Amen. But for most Christians, that's not our problem. For most Christians, for 98% of both God's kids, he says your sin and my sin is not the carnal things of the flesh. You want to know what God's standard is? Oh, you're going to not like me after this. Flip over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and we'll be done, I promise you, in about 5 minutes. James chapter 4. God says most of my kids' problem is not the internet pornography thing, is not wicked carnal thinking, is not, and there's, I understand there's a portion of God's kids. If you're newly saved and you're struggling with those things, it's okay. Get the victory. God died for you for that. But Jesus said this, your sin and my sin, if we're not struggling with those things, see, we think because we're not struggling with those things, we're okay. We're not. You know what God's standard is? Look at verse number 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Uh-oh. That just knocked every one of us into the sin category today. You say, why is that, preacher? Because is it good? I'm not going to hand you my checkbook. Hallelujah. Is it? I don't have a track. You got a track on you, son? All right. Is it good? Let's make this. Believe this is a track. Shame on me, I don't have one. To hand a track to the gas station clerk when you're done saying, dear sir, thank you for the kind service. This tells you how you can know for sure heaven is your home when you die. Is that good to do? Preacher thinks so. Talk to me. Is that good to do? Do you do it? All the time. Folks, when we don't, it's sin. That's Bible. Is it good? I'm from Berean Baptist Church. We sure would love to have you come out and visit us this weekend on Sunday. Is that good to do? Amen. Again, you're a preacher, but talk to me. I want to help you tonight. Is that good to do? Amen. Do you do it? Preacher, did you have 600 people out soul winning last week? When we don't, it's sin. That's Bible. Got brothers and sisters? Is it good to get along with them all the time and never fight? Is it good? Do you fight sometimes? Listen, son, when you fight with them, it's sin. God no longer hears you unless you get that thing cared for. Listen, if they're old enough to get saved, son, is it good to listen to mom and dad all the time and not fuss? Do you fuss sometimes when they tell you to do things? When you do, son, that's sin. And what happens at that point, unless you get that cared for, fellowship and God's ear is no longer bent towards you. I found the key to get my prayers answered is make sure the one I'm praying to hears them. I got 1,000 of them. Is it good? Is it good to read your Bible? Is it good to pray? Hey, how many guys are in here? We're married. Raise your hand. Married. Got a family. Amen. Put them up. Now, ladies, I'm going to help you, but don't you dare beat your husband over the head with this, but I want to help these guys. Put your hands down. Gentlemen, is it good to dwell with our lives, well, with our wives according to knowledge, lead them in prayer and devotions on a daily basis? Is that good? Of course it is. Do we do it? All the time? It gets pretty serious when we start thinking about those things. But that's God's economy. It's kind of like this. Let me help you. It's kind of like this. How many of you all got kids or grandkids? Raise your hand. Right. Little Johnny comes home. You get up this morning and you're cooking breakfast. You say, Johnny, do the dishes after the breakfast is all done. No, you do them. Okay. And you happen to walk by his room about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He's not made his bed yet, and he's got his room is just thrashed, and everything's all over the place. And you say, John, why don't you please, I need you to go make your bedroom. He says, I don't really feel like it right now. Maybe later. Amen. And then it's time to set the dinner table for dinner. And you say, John, your mama needs some help. And he says, no! But after dinner, you know, he comes up to you about 3 minutes after dinner's done. Dad, can I have an ice cream? How many are you going to give him that ice cream? Neither does God. Son, will you read my Bible? No! Will you please go tell somebody I died for him today? I don't think so. Not today. Son, I haven't heard your voice in a long time. Yeah, it's all right. You'll get over it. God, please, will you? And God says, what? Listen, folks. We're not doing as good as we thought. We're pretending we are. We need to see revival in our nation. And the truth of the matter is we're not going to see it if we don't look in the mirror. You say, Brother Petronico, you convinced me. I got a problem. I didn't convince you nothing. That's called the Holy Spirit of God. I don't want to leave you there. How do I fix that? I don't know how you fix it, but maybe you can do what I did. 3 times a day, I prayed this prayer. So flip over to Psalm 51. I said, God, I'm in trouble. Well, I preach, by the time I figured this truth out, by the time I figured God hadn't heard me, I figured it was about 7 months since God's heard my prayers. 7 months since the last time I first John 1:9, my sins. How long has it been for you? Now think about this. If God hasn't been hearing your prayers, think about all the wonderful things he's done for you. What a God. Has it ever occurred to you that God's just a good daddy? Matter of fact, he's the best dad you ever had. He takes care of us even when we're bad. Amen. I mean, thank God it's not based on my righteousness and my goodness, because I wouldn't get much from God. He's just a good dad. How many of you gentlemen here, if your son messed up today and you're disappointed with him and you're going to eat steak tonight, would stick him out back and eat a can of beans? None of you. And if you would, please see me outside that door right over there after service so I could talk to you. God don't do that either. He's a good dad. And I said, God, I can't stay in this shape. God, please show me what I need to do. And I just through a series of events and series of my own personal devotions, I was going through the book of Psalms. And I said, God, please help me. And he said, well, you know, David was a pretty bad dude, you know, by the Bible's own admission. Although I like the fact that God called him a man after his own heart. But by the Bible's definition, he was a murderer, a liar, a idolater. Amen. And a wife stealer. Amen. So I said, God, what did he do? And I came across Psalm 51, the psalm David penned after Nathan walked by, just like I felt when God walked by, kind of like you're feeling right now, saying, thou art the man. Amen. See, Jesus did not die on a cross so you can go to heaven. Preacher, I lost a bunch of them there. He didn't. Now, you get to go to heaven because he died on the cross. Thank God for that. He died on the cross so God... And he walks with me, catch me, and tells me I am his own, and the joys we share. Jesus died on the cross so God could get back what he lost in the garden. And that was a fellowship with you and me. So we can get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and talk to the God of the universe. Amen. That's why it is, folks, it's so much more than a ticket to heaven. These young people were talking about it. They found it at camp or youth conference this week. Mom and Dad, you got to find it. You got to find it. I found it. Do what I did. I memorized Psalm 51 and started praying it 3 times a day. I said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, please blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. And verse 3 said, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. He said, verse 4, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Now watch this. And done this great evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and clear when thou judgest. He said in verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sinned, and my mother conceived me. He said, here's the key. Behold, thou desirest truth. In the inward parts. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Verse 7, he said, purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. You say, preacher, how do I stay clean? Life gets you dirty. And you're right. You know what? Life does get you dirty. We're not going to stop sinning until Jesus comes. That's why he put 1 John 1:9 in the Bible. But by the way, that's why he put 1 John 1:9 in the Bible, is because Luke chapter 5 verse 13 is there. Because his will for your life and mine is to be clean. And this is why you're frustrated so much. Because you're trying to walk with him and follow him and you're not clean. The worst thing we ever taught people, preacher, is half-truths. Finish this for me. Draw nigh to God and he'll what? Half-truth. The rest of that verse says this. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Before there's a drawing, there's got to be a cleansing. And we got so many people saying, preacher, it doesn't work. Preacher, I'm trying to draw nigh to God. I'm trying to get close to God. And it just doesn't seem to be working in my life. And you're right, it doesn't. Because you got to be clean to do it. But when you get clean and you do it his way, if two of you shall agree as touching anything on earth, you got, shall ask of my Father which is in heaven, he shall do. Listen, get his ear open to you. When is the last time God heard your prayers? Chances are, if you're like me, the last time he heard your prayer is when you first John 1 9, your sin. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I live revival every day of my life, just about. I really do. Now, it all depends on what you determine or what you think is Bible. And if it's okay, preacher, could those guys sing, I Can Pray? Come on up, guys. I live revival every day of my life. Now, I'm going to ask you two questions. And then I'm going to turn it over to preacher, I think. He's going to take it over here pretty soon. I know that. But let me ask you a question, Berean Baptist Church. I know we've been a little long, but please forgive me for that. But I love you. I wanted you to get this truth. No doubt there's somebody here tonight trusting what your mama told you you did as a five-year-old boy or five-year-old girl. No doubt there's maybe several people here tonight just like that preacher. And may I repeat the words of Kendra. When I saw other people making a decision, when I saw the other people that were willing to stand up and admit something, it encouraged me to do right. And that's usually the key. I've been in churches all throughout this summer. We've been on the road 7 weeks, and we've seen about 70 people saved. Because somebody was honest with God and raised their hand to this question, and the floodgates began to break. You say, preacher, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody's looking around, I promise you. I'm like that pastor. Truth be known, I just don't know for sure. God's been dealing with me on that. And if I were to die right now, the truth be... By the way, God knows the answer to this question. We're fooling nobody. You might have your preacher fooled, you might have your wife fooled, or husband fooled, your parents fooled, but you don't got God fooled. You say, preacher, I'm like that preacher, I'm like that pastor. Oh, God knows, I don't know for sure. But I don't want to die and go to hell. Here's my hand, preacher, here's my hand. Please pray for me. Here's my hand, preacher. I see that hand. There's one. Will anybody join this one? Don't be afraid. Don't allow what people think anymore to damn you to hell. That was his testimony. There's one. Raise your hand. Would you join this one? Say, preacher, I don't know for sure. Heaven's my home. Please pray for me. Remember me when you pray in a moment. And you just lift your hand up. You say, preacher, I'm not asking for a confession of sin, but you just say, preacher, God spoke to my heart tonight. Here's my hand. Here's my hand, preacher. God spoke to me. Let's all stand. Father God in heaven, do it all you can do in the hearts of your people, please. The altars are open, God, please, Father. The key to revival is knowing that the God of heaven hears us. God, would we understand there's a lot more to this Christian life than just eternal life and a decision to take Calvary for us. God, help us. Save this one that's closest to hell. God, would you have him come, God, please? Would you give him the courage just to come down and take his preacher's hand by, take the preacher by the hand and just get on his knees and ask Jesus Christ to save his never-dying soul. Do it all you can do in the hearts of your people during invitation time. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go ahead, guys. Altar's open. If God spoke to your heart, that ought to be every one of us. Unless you have a time in your personal walk with God where you first John 1 9 your sins every day.
You say I'm not able, I'm too young or I'm too old.
Listen, folks, our nation's dying to go to hell. Teach.
And no
so we need to go to the God of heaven on their behalf
can I do?
And see the power of God fall once.
for I want to do my part, and I want to help the hurt.